You know,
anytime you go to a meeting like this, if you're a preacher, you're always wondering what you're going to preach, if the Lord makes it possible for you to preach. And today I was sort of pondering over several different things, but when I was sitting back there a while ago, before the services started and things, or when I first got here, the Lord just spoke to my heart about preaching on the call of God. And then lo and behold, y'all got right off on it over there and everything. By the grace of God this afternoon, that's what we're going to be preaching on. Now, my call, when the Lord called me to preach, I'd only been saved just a very, very short while. And I never thought about ever preaching. And nobody else did either that knew me would have never thought that the Lord would have used me to preach at all for several different reasons. One was I couldn't talk. I couldn't stand up in front of a class and read a report. That just wasn't my thing to do. And then the other thing was I said that'd burn Henry and mean that, they would have never thought it anyway. We done mean things. I don't know if y'all did or not, but we did. I mean, we was wild and crazy and smart alecky and everything you could add on to it, we did a little bit of it. I can remember one day in class being another boy who got down on her hands and knees while the teacher was teaching, and we crawled underneath the tables over to the other side of the room and took matches and lined them up around the boy's foot and set them on fire. Got back in our pew about the time he got the hot foot and just all kind of silly things like that, they're having a junior-senior prom. We was, I think, sophomores, and we climbed up to gym windows and each one of us dumped a package of firecrackers into the gym. And if you ever shot a firecracker in the gym, it sounded like a cannon going off. And we done all kinds of things like that. We dumped the pencil sharpener in the teacher's coat pocket when he'd hang it up and all kinds of goodies. Now, we did it all. But then the Lord would choose one day then to call me to preach. But at that time, I'd have never, ever dreamed of it. But we got saved on October the 3rd, 1968, at home. And then almost immediately after that, the Lord began to deal with me about preaching. And I'd say, Lord, I can't preach. Ain't no way I can preach. And He'd say, yes, you can. I'd open my Bible, and He'd say, you can preach right there. And He'd show me something that I could preach on. And I'd say, no, and I'd turn it somewhere else, and He'd say, you can preach there, and you can preach there. And I wrestled with Him for a little while, for several months, I guess, before we ever really surrendered to preach. And then we finally got started and things. And the first church we ever preached in, I scared teetotally to death. And I knew before I ever went, they would call me to be their pastor. And I'd never preached before. When we get over at that church that morning, I recommended two or three other preachers to them. And that would be a candidate maybe to pastor, because I sure didn't want to go. And lo and behold, when the service was over, one of the men got up and said, we've been looking for a pastor. Said, I believe God sent us one. I turned it down and did not take it and things. So we was up and down, in and out, and things like that. Not in and out of church. We've always been in church. Thank God for that. But we didn't accept the church to pastor. And about a year later, then we took the church there where we're at now, Dawson Springs, organized it the same day this church was organized. And that's been a long time ago and things. Now I've been preaching before that and then ever since. Not many Sundays that we've missed preaching the Word of God. And God's been good. Now, Brother Gene was talking about building a building. When we built our building there at Dawson, we didn't have any money, didn't have anybody with any money. And so we borrowed $10,000, and we're going to build a church with $10,000. And you say, you can't do it. Well, we did. I beg your pardon. Somebody said, well, you can't just build a church. You've got to have architects, and they got to draw up plans, and got to send them all off, and things like this. I said, how much does that cost? They said about $6,000 or $7,000 at that time. I said, we ain't going to do that. We're going to build a church. And so we built a church. I mean, we didn't get no permits. We didn't get nothing. We built a church. You say, you can't do it. We done it. is sitting there today. I mean, and everything. The only permit we got was a plumbing permit. And wouldn't have had that, but the plumber wouldn't put it in without it, so he went and got the plumbing permit, and we forgot all the rest of them and built a building. And they didn't take it down. Some of those things, they just want you to bow down a little bit to them, and they want to show you how much power they've got. And so I was just young and dumb and didn't do it. And the preacher told me to go about, you know, going places and somebody getting mad at him. Let me share this with you, and then we'll get into the Word of God here just in a second. They invited me one time to go to a PTA meeting and preach what I thought they wanted, okay? And so I go to the PTA meeting. I'm young and dumb then, old and dumb now, you know what I mean? But I was dumber then, I guess, than I am now. But I get in that PTA meeting. I'd never done this before. I preached on that verse of Scripture where it's better if a man if he gained the whole world, lose his own soul. And I preached to him for about 30 minutes. And, you know, they never did ask me to come back again. I've never yet preached in another PTA meeting. And so, but just hang in there and do it. I want you to open your Bibles with us for a little while this afternoon, if you will. We'll go in the book of Genesis and, book of Exodus in chapter 3, if you'll read with me there. Of course, most of you know what we're going to be reading here in the first part of Exodus chapter 3. Israel has been in Egypt now for a long time, almost 500 years. You know, I heard a bunch of people the other day while you're looking for your place there complain about Israel when they're shooting those rockets over there near Gaza, over there with the Hamas. I ain't heard many of them complain about the ISIS, though, have you? Somebody forgot that part, I believe, don't you? But anyway, Israel has been in Egypt for about almost 500 years. Let me say this to you too. God knew where they were. They hadn't slipped up. I mean, nothing had slipped up on God. He knew exactly where they were. And He knew a little more than that. You'll see this as we read here in a moment. But He knew what was going on amongst them as well. He heard them when they cried. And He saw the afflictions that was placed upon them as they got worse and worse. When they first went, you know, it wasn't too bad. But then after a while, when Joseph passed on and the Pharaoh passed on, things begin to get worse and worse all the time. And so things is bad shape now. But God still knew. You know, God still knows. I'm glad He still knows. But watch with me just a minute now. The Bible said, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now watch with me here. And he said, Moses, Moses. Isn't it amazing God knew his name? I mean, He knows mine, yours too, is what the Scripture said. And he said unto him, here am I. Pretty easy right now, isn't it? I mean, he just looks over and he said, here I am, Lord, here I am. But watch the next verse. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, and which in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me,
And I've also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. And here's where the call comes. He said, come thou therefore, and I'll send thee unto Pharaoh. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this afternoon for the opportunity to try to preach the Word of God. Lord, all I want to do, God, is just exactly what you'd have done, and that's all. You help me, Lord, today that I might be pleasing unto you. Let me preach with power and liberty from on high. Lord, I pray this afternoon you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. You'd use us for Jesus' sake. We ask it all in His name. Amen and amen. I want you to notice several things, if you will. But I want you to notice that little part there where it said, I'll send thee unto Pharaoh. I want you to think with me just a minute. They've been there for a long time now, as I said a minute ago. Almost 500 years they grew up there. I mean, these people have grown up in this place where they're at. Some of them not going to be ready to leave home, by the way. Going to be a lot of things going to have to be overcome. But I want you to realize and understand that this call that's coming to him is coming to him at an unusual time in history, by the way. It's very unusual what's taking place. It's an unusual call. It's at an unusual time. And look where he called him at, on the backside of the desert. He's the only one I know of that was called on the backside of the desert. It's an unusual place, a time, and circumstances, and everything is blended in. And what's taking place today is very unusual. Can I say this to you this afternoon? I believe with all my heart, when God called me, it was unusual. It was not the ordinary day for me, and it wasn't for you either. If God called you and brought you into the ministry, it was unusual the day that God dealt with you. Now, He may have spoke to Brother Benny a little bit different way than He spoke to me, but I know it was Him, you see. It ain't no doubt in my mind of who it was. I know it was Him, you know what I mean? I was preaching the other night out of the book of John. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. Hey, I believe there's no voice like the voice of the Lord when He begins to call to His children. And He called right here and He said, Moses, I know what's going on down there, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh, and I'm sending you. I want you to get this if you don't get anything else. Egypt is the strongest army on the face of the earth at that time. They had more soldiers, they had more chariots, they had great strength in their military. I mean, they were a strong, strong army that he's going to contend with. They had everything to fight with you could think of. They had it in their arsenal, every kind of a weapon that could be devised. Egypt had them. They were a rich place, you see. And here Moses is. He's just a tender of the sheep on the backside of the desert. And God says, I want you to go down to Pharaoh and deliver my people out of his hand, about 2 million Jews and all of their cattle and their herds and everything they have. I want you to go down and deliver them out of his hand. Can I say to you this morning or this afternoon, it's impossible. It's impossible with men. The job that God called Moses to do was impossible for Moses to do it. Would you agree with that? When God called you into the ministry and He called me into the ministry, He assigned unto me an impossible job for me to do. It's not what I've done or what I'm going to do. It's what God is going to do with me. His whole secret of His whole strength is, Moses said, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to believe me. But God said, I'm not sending you alone. I'm going with you. And every step that Moses made, God was with him. Can he do it? Not on his own. Can Moses gather up as many frogs as God gathered up and scatter them across the land of Egypt in one of the plagues? Can Moses go out there and turn the water into blood in the rivers and the streams that ran through there? I say unto you, these things Moses could not do at all. God had no problem in doing it. Now think with me just a minute. I've got to go down to Egypt and I've got to go in to the king, to Pharaoh. And I've got to say, Pharaoh, let God's people go that they may come and worship thee. But I'm going to lead them out of this land over yonder in another land far away. And I'm going to take them over. I just got 2 million Jews and a bunch of cows and a bunch of camels and a bunch of asses. And I got a whole bunch of livestock here. I got to take care of. When am I going to get the water to take them across the desert? Where am I going to get enough bread to feed them? Where am I going to get the supplies? Where am I going to get the protection from the enemies we go across? Where in the world am I going to be? I can't do this. God said, listen, I'm going with you. You stay with me just a minute. We're not going to stop here, by the way, but you bear with me, record here with me for just a moment. You know the story. God sent the plagues across the land. They leave Egypt, and then Pharaoh has a change of heart and said, listen, we can't let them get away. We got to go get them. Here they came to the Red Sea. Moses can't part the sea. We've got a herd of cattle over here. We got all these Jews over here. And here's the enemy coming behind us. We got to get them across. Impossible. Impossible. You see these pictures in a little narrow passageway about as wide as this section of pews here. All them people going across, that'd take them 6 months to get across there like that. No, God opened that thing up. Moses says, stand still. Don't look at me. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. And he raced out that old rod, and lo and behold, that water went one way and the other way, and she opened up, and they went across in one night. One day, they was on the other side. But now, wait a minute. Walmart's not open. Kroger's not open this day. They get out there and they don't have anything to eat. What in the world are we going to do? We got people out here now murmuring and crying. They're starving to death. And they got to have something to eat. Now what am I going to do? I can't do it. Y'all ever been that way in your ministry? You know God put you across the Red Sea, but you get on a little fuzzy and say, how in the world can I do this one? You remember what God did? He sent the manna down from heaven. Picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the true bread, you know. But he sent the manna down. And then not only the manna, they said, listen, we've had enough of that. We want some meat with our bread, you know. And I don't know about y'all, but I used to love to bird hunt. How many of you ever bird hunted? Anybody much? I chased them old bird dogs up and down them hills, ain't you? Walked them hills, went up Litchfield one time. And lo and behold, we hunted a half a day. I was tired for a week climbing them hills up there at Litchfield, chasing after that bird dog. Found a covey of quail. And you know how many was in a covey? Half a dozen. If you got a dozen, I mean you had a big covey, you know, and everything. But let me show you something. When Moses got out there and they wanted meat, God sent a covey. They were special, by the way, because the Bible said they came in from the sea. Now, I ain't real bright, but I know one thing. Birds don't come in from the sea unless it's a miracle. But there was a covey that day so big that the Bible said they were knee-deep. Knee-deep. As far as you could walk in any direction a day's journey. Any way you want to put it, that's a whole bunch of quail. Did you know it? What Moses could not do, God did. God calls you and calls you to do something. Let me tell you something. It's not your strength that's going to get the job done. It's going to be God's strength that gets the job done. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's His. It's His all the way, every day, all the time. It's His.
He fed them. They needed water, and lo and behold, He just sent a rock, and the water came out of the rock. All He had to do was just speak to it, and He'd come out of the rock. I got to thinking about that, and then I thought about some others. You remember God called Abraham? This is what He said. He said, Abraham, He said, I want you to get out of this land and go to a place that I'll tell you about. You just let me guide you and lead you. You should get up there and do it. Abraham left not knowing where he was going, how long he's going to stay. He didn't know what he's going to do when he got there. He had no idea. Only thing he left with was the promise of God that one day God would make a mighty nation out of him. And sure enough, it was all up to God again. And God did. Now I want to come just a little farther, and I won't take a long, long time, I promise you. You get to the New Testament. Jesus was walking down by the sea one day, and there were some fishermen sitting out there. Y'all remember that? And He looked over to them and said, fellas, leave your nets and come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Sounds pretty good, don't it? Sounds pretty good. They left their net and they followed Him. He went a little farther, and there's a tax collector down there. He walked up to him. He said, come follow me. And the Bible said Matthew left the seat of custom and followed Jesus. He got this little band that's following him, you see. And I kind of believe that was his church, you see. I don't believe the church started on the day of Pentecost. If you do, you've got a right to be wrong, okay? But I believe it started in the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ while Jesus was here. Amen. I believe that she was already there on Pentecost. Now watch with me here just a moment. The Lord gathered this church together, if you remember. We used Matthew chapter 28, verses 19, 20 many, many times. You know, talking about baptism and things. He said there in those verses, He said, let me back up. I can't even quote it, but I want to anyway. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Didn't He say that? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. The verse before we read that or quoted those right there said, all power is given unto me both heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Why? Because all power is given to Him. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then you look over in the book of Mark and He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. Get it to them. Now stay with me here just a minute. Who's He talking to? There's 11 men gathered in that upper room. 11 men. Fishermen. The likes of fishermen, tax collectors. And He looks over to them and He said, go teach all nations. But you're just 11 of you. Teach all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature. Get the job done. Can I say this to you? That was impossible. Huh? Can't do it, can He? God can. What's impossible with men is possible with God. Is that not what the Scripture said? There's not anything too hard for God. God can do it. How long would it take me and Brother Benny, there's 11 preachers in here today, how long would it take us to carry the gospel to every nation under heaven? I mean, get the gospel witness in every nation under heaven. How long would it take us? Leo's in Canada, but that's not everywhere. I mean, some of you others may be missionary. He's up in Frankfurt and others at different places. How long would it take us to get that done? You know how long it took them? 50 days. 50 days. Acts chapter 2 said, on the day of Pentecost, there was devout Jews dwelling there out of every nation under heaven. And Peter raised up and preached what? The death, the burial,
and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and a representative for every nation under heaven heard the gospel, and they could go back to their old nations now, and the gospel would begin to spread to every nation under heaven because of this one message that Peter would preach. You see, what I want you to understand is, if anything at all we can get across to you this afternoon, when we get a call from God, it's not our strength that's going to get it done. I thank God for the call. And God's not looking for strong men. He's looking for weak men that'll depend on Him. And if we'll get our acts right, and we'll get our heads and hearts in the right tune, and we'll get a hold of God, listen, there's no limit to what God can do through us. And I say this too, the highest moments in my life has been after preaching the Word of God. Seeing some soul walk that aisle. Seeing some little boy, some little girl get saved. I never will forget one night there at Dawson Springs. We preached, and the little girl, she's about probably 12 or 13 years old. She came down to the altar, and I turned around and knelt down beside her and led her to Christ. When she got saved, I looked over at her, and oh, she was just glowing. I mean, the Lord had just came into her life and saved her, and she was just aglow. I've never seen a child look like that before. I felt so, I don't know how you put it, so humble or something. But after the service was over and I get everybody out of the way, I go back in the office and I just fell on my face. And I said, God, I want to thank You tonight. If You don't ever save nobody else in my ministry, I want to thank You for saving that little girl. Oh, what a sweet time, that little girl. One Sunday night, my sister-in-law came down, and I knelt beside her over here and led her to Christ. And I heard somebody crying over on the other side of it and looked over there, and there was my brother. I'll never forget that. I said, Billy, can I pray with you about something? He said, not now. He said, the Lord just saved me. What would I take for that? Ain't no price on that. What did I do? Nothing. But what did God do? God did. We built a building, but it wasn't us. It was God that built it. I was not capable of doing that. We don't have the funds. We don't have the means. We don't have the materials. We don't have anything in the world we need. All God wants is us, and He'll take care of the rest. If we'll just put our faith and trust in Him in all things. I don't know if y'all ever do things like this or not, but we have in days past. We need to build an addition on the building. We laid the estimate down in the floor. Everybody gathered around. We said, Lord, this is what we need. And we don't know where we're going to get it. And things, if You've got a way of getting it other than borrowing it, You show us. Would you believe that night we got every penny that we needed before the night was over? God took care of every bit of it. And God got the glory out of it. God got the glory out of it. You don't have to be a great Christian. You don't have to be a great preacher. Because we have a great God. A great God. He's great. I mean, He can do all things. When we become helpless, that's when He does the most with us. When we're weak, that's when we're strong. That's when He shows up. But you know our problem? We want to be the strong one. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you're not. You never was. And you never will be. It's always Him. It's always Him. Not you. It's Him. Keep your eyes on Him. And you'll not fail. I think of those high moments. My brother that told me that story that night that he was saved, he said, I'm clean from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. About probably 4 or 5 years after that, he came by my house one afternoon and blew the horn and waved at my kids as he was coming home from work. About a mile and a half down the road, he was involved in a wreck.
and he was killed. They called me and they said, there's a wreck down the road. Said, we think it was Billy. Said, you need to get here as quick as you can. I got there and I went to the scene of the wreck. And sure enough, it was Billy. You know where my mind went to? The first place it went to? Was so thankful for that trip to that altar that night. You may not have nothing much to offer, but I want you to realize this. The best times of your life is doing what God called you to do, regardless of what it is. Look back at over your life, and I believe you'll agree with me. The highest times in my life was when I was in the will of God, and God was doing something through me. Not that I could do it, but that He was doing it through me. I love to preach, and I don't want the credit for it anymore. I used to think and all that I'd like to be a professional basketball player, or I'd like to be a, you know, somebody in a high place. I'd like to have a great big church, and I'd like to do this and that and everything. And then I've realized in later years, I ain't ever going to achieve those goals. But I can do what God wants me to do where I am. I can just be obedient to the Lord and do what I can where I am. All of us can do that. Young men have come to me many different times, had several to surrender to preach. And this is what they'd say. They'd say, Brother Donnie, I believe God's called me to preach. I'd always tell them this. I say, make yourself available and let God do the rest of it. Be like Moses. Say, here am I, Lord. Here am I. And if God wants to use you, God will. You wonder sometimes why God uses one and God don't use another one. Can I say this to you? That's none of your business. That's God's business. That's God's business. I'm thankful tonight for the call of God. Is it real? Honey, it's just as real as anything that you could ever touch with your hand or see with your eyes or anything. It's real. God calls people to do the work of God. Let's bow our heads.